Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I also want to welcome my new listening audience on Rapture Ready Radio. Well, we have so many things going on in the world, and we know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen. Because truly, the days are evil, and we're seeing so many wars and rumors of wars and violence of all kinds. Yesterday, a terrible shooting in Germany. Imagine that you're walking to get something to eat, and all of a sudden, there's a man with a rifle, and he just starts shooting people. Unbelievable. The world needs Jesus. The world really needs Jesus because we have so many things going on, especially in politics, but we know that these people are only human beings and only Jesus Christ can save us. And he is the true Prince of Peace. When people know the Lord and they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we know to do right. We know that God has a kingdom, and his kingdom is not of this world. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future as far as the presidential election goes. And we know that somebody needs to be president of this country. And hopefully, we'll have a change which we need, really, because I thought it was interesting when I was looking at a story today, and it was reported that some of the mothers that their children were killed by illegal aliens, murdered, they're going to protest around Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. He has a wall around his house. Now, he's a Republican, but they haven't done anything to fortify our borders to keep drugs from coming in. They haven't really done much. They haven't done much to stop people walking across the border, and we don't know who they are. So he has a wall around his house, but he has yet to lead the charge with the Republican Party, and I think they have the majority, if it's not the Senate or the House, one or the other, I can't remember, but they haven't led the charge to fortify our borders and to try to find out who's coming in here, but yet he has a wall around his house. Now, he has a wall around his house for a reason. So if it's good enough for him, why isn't it good enough? Ask the people that live in the border towns or how they feel about strangers walking through their backyard at night. I know that if I looked out my window late at night and I saw somebody in my yard, it would scare me. And this is a common occurrence for people that live in border towns. I know I told the story in the past about a lady that I met in the late 1980s. I think I was in New Mexico or Arizona. I can't remember exactly which state I was in, but anyway, it was near a border town. And this was an elderly lady that I stayed with. She was in her 70s, and she said to me at the time that people were walking through her yard at all hours of the night. Now, this was in the late 1980s, and these were people that had come into the country illegally then. So you can imagine what it's like now when they're pouring in by the thousands. And a friend of mine was telling me yesterday that he lives in New York State, and he was telling me that they want to let 2,000 or 3,000 Syrian refugees into Syracuse, I think he said Syracuse, New York. So it's kind of strange what's going on, really, because no matter what people say, the Quran and the Muslim religion, they have an agenda for their religion. It's just like the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has its own government in Rome. The Pope is the head of the government. They have a bank. They have an army. They have ambassadors. It's a government. And interestingly enough, too, Hillary Clinton's pick for vice president is a Jesuit-trained Catholic. Now, isn't that interesting that she would pick somebody like that? Here we have a Jesuit pope. Now we a Jesuit-trained man is running for vice president. So, but they have an agenda. You could go on the internet and search the internet to look at the oath that Jesuits take. They say they will kill for the Catholic Church. Well, it's the same thing like the Muslims. They believe in killing heretics, and they want to establish their religion and their way of life because they believe that's the only true way. But we know, we as Christians, we don't hurt people because they don't join our church or they won't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not the teachings of the Prince of Peace and the teachings of Christianity. We don't have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and we want to get revenge on our enemies and hurt people that have hurt us. That's not Christianity, but these people that serve these false gods, that's their ideology, is to destroy people that won't believe like they believe. Now, we see almost every day in the news there's some kind of a new event going on. And the world can be a frightening place, but we know that Jesus Christ is in charge. This is God's world, and we have a job to do, and our job is to introduce people to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and to see men's hearts change, because if we really want change, people have to have a relationship with Jesus and stay in His Word and follow the principles of His Word, no matter what anybody else does to you. That's how we have to live our lives. But I also find it interesting, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, today we're going to talk about, of course, TBN, and we're going to talk about Joni Parsley, and there's a couple of other things I want to talk about. But I also want to talk about entitlements and how the Bible teaches us to live our life, because personally, I mean, I don't really care to take money from the government. I'm not interested. I like to earn my own living, and I'm not looking for anybody to, you know, for the government to save me or to pay for my family. Because we all have to take personal responsibility for our lives. That's what the Bible teaches. We get married, we have children. We can't expect the government to take care of our children. If we want to have children, we have to take care of them. Why is it anybody else's responsibility to take care of your children? Ask any property owner that doesn't live in a state where if you don't have anybody in school, which we don't have anybody in school in our household, but 75% of our property taxes go for schools. And we don't have anybody in school, so why should I have to pay for somebody else's child to go to school? I didn't birth that child. It's not a member of my family. So why do I have to be responsible for somebody else's children? If people want children, it's your responsibility to make sure that they get the proper schooling and that you pay for the schooling. It isn't the taxpayer's responsibility. But there's people that are running for office, and they're promising you the world. We're going to give you this, and they're not giving you anything because they're not taking it out of their pocket. I'm sure they're not going to empty their bank account to make donations to your family. So it's going to come from taxpayers. That's where government entitlement programs come from. It comes from taxpayers. So I think as Christians, we have to set a standard where we say, look, we don't want your entitlements. I'm going to take care of my own family. I birthed this family, and I'm going to be responsible for myself and my family. It's the same thing with college tuitions. They want the government now has to send your children to college. Oh, please. You can go to the library, and there's volumes of books of scholarships and grants. So what does somebody – I'm not saying that everybody can get one, but there's thousands of them. I've seen the books. They're thick. And so what does it require for somebody to go and find out about a scholarship and a grant? It's about work. So you might – your child, and we have to raise our children like this, is to teach them to work for what they want. Not to think that everybody else owes them a living. You know, that's what's wrong with most of the world and most of the church today. The church feels like they're entitled to, I know Jesus, so he has to give me a house and a car and $1 million. But that's not what our attitude is supposed to be. So you have to teach your children to apply for these things, to get good grades, to try to go to the library, find out what the grants are, find out what the scholarships are, and teach them how to be self-reliant and not reliant on other people. So we, as the body of Christ, have to be the ones that set the standard and show the example to the world, because for people to believe that everybody else is responsible for feeding your family and schooling your family and clothing your family and housing your family, I mean, yikes. You know, that is not scriptural at all. And oh, yeah, Vince. He says I'm starting to sound like a conservative Republican. I'll tell you what, though, I'm a Christian first, right, Vince? Let me teach you here a few scriptures, what the Bible says about being lazy, and all of us have probably been guilty of this at one time in our life, but if you go to the scriptures and you look at the word in the King James is slothfulness. And let me read you a few scriptures. Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Proverbs 24, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Proverbs 24:30-34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Well, I need to follow up on that one. I only have that verse there, but Proverbs 19:24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. And really, it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. What is the solution to poverty? There's only one solution. It's called work. And if you don't work, you're not going to eat. If you don't work, you're not going to have. So we have a problem in this country, because people think because we were born here, we're entitled to things. And so there's been so much industry that has left the country. As you realize when you go to the store to buy things, try to find something that's made in this country anymore. It's almost impossible to find something that's actually 100% made in this country, from the cotton being grown here, the cloth being woven here, the patterns being cut here, the articles being sewn here. Hard to find manufacturing. There might be some companies, but it's very, very rare that you find anything that's 100% made in this country. So what are the factories of today? The factories of today are Walmart, Burger King, McDonald's, fast food restaurants. That's mainly in the towns now where you go. Those are the factories of today. And, of course, they don't pay well. So it's hard to support a family on those kind of wages. So, yeah, you can be innovative, you can be creative, and try to start your own business or do something. Ask God to give you an idea. God can give you ideas, and he can give you things to do. Everybody is creative. Everybody is creative. Everybody probably has an idea that can help you earn some money to lift yourself up. Now, don't we all feel good about ourselves when we do something for ourselves and we get ourselves out of our messes that we make, and we're not looking for the government to solve all our problems? It's like, yikes, please, stay out of my life. That's how I feel about the government. I'll stay out of your life, you stay out of my life. I want police protection. Yes, I want firemen Local government is fine to oversee the city and the county. But I know in our county now, we had a privately owned water company when I first moved here. And our water bill was $9. $9. So what happens then? The county decides that they're going to buy the water company. And I guess they use it to raise what, well, they say we own the water company, but they use it as a way to generate revenue, which is called taxes. So as soon as the county buys the water company, our water bill doubles. And we have a set rate for our water, and it's sometimes $20 a month is what we pay for a certain usage of water. And then if you use any more than that, yikes, it skyrockets out of sight. So I was a lot happier when it was privately owned and the company wasn't using it as a way to generate taxes, more taxes and more taxes and more taxes. So if you realize in a day how much you spend on taxes, look at your phone bill. You probably have $10 a month in charges for this tax, this fee, that fee, and you don't even have a say in it. You have to pay those fees, your phone bill, your electric bill. Gasoline is heavily taxed. They don't like to tell you that, but look how cheap a barrel of oil is today. So why are we paying so? We're still paying over $2 for a gallon of gas, which probably should be 50 cents at this point. But it's taxes. And once the government, once they start getting all this revenue, they still want more. Now, I live in Florida, so in my county, years ago, they didn't have all these rules and regulations like they have today. So at one time, there were, many, many builders here. And you could drive up and down some of the main roads, and they would have homes that you could go into and look at the home. And then if you liked it, you could, you know, spec homes. Then you say, okay, go look for a piece, a lot, and find a lot, and then have one of these builders build your houses. So what happened then? The county decided, well, we want some extra revenue, so they started impact fees on the builders. So it started off being thousands of dollars that were added to the price of a home to build a home, besides what it cost you for the construction, for the impact fees, for the taxes. And so then they decided, after they had a hurricane, we had a big hurricane here about 6 or 7 years ago. So, for instance, if you want to put a door on your house, or you want to put some sliding vinyl windows in your screen room, they're on a track and they slide. Now they made these new regulations because apparently some engineer had a lobby with the governor or something. So now if you want to put a door, a vinyl window in your screen room, you have to hire an engineer to engineer the plans, which there's nothing to engineer. You just put a track in and you put this window. It's made out of vinyl. It's not glass, and you slide it. $400 for the engineer, and then you need a permit, so that's $800. And even before you get started on your project, that's how much it's going to cost you. To put a door on your house, now you need a permit. All of these things, it's taxes. So don't let anybody that's running for president, that we're going to give you all these things, because they're not giving you anything that's not going to come out of somebody else's pocket, that somebody else is going to have to pay for. But just make up your own mind that you're going to take care of your own family, no matter what it takes. And we as Christians, we are not going to be reliant on government to take care of us. We rely on Jesus Christ to take care of us. and we take care of our own business, and we don't go begging all over for somebody else to take care of us. So let's let that be our attitude, and we can be an example to the world of what real Christianity is, and we can help affect a change like that, no matter what the politicians do. You know, I mean, last week at the, if you watch the Republican convention, and I watched it, and I watched it, so I saw what was going on, and then you listen to the talking heads on the news channels, and they tell you something exactly the opposite of what really happened. So we have to be aware and we have to be wise that when we see something and we hear something, that we can understand exactly what's going on. You have to know the whole story. It's just like, here's an article now, James Dobson, okay? James Dobson. Now, someone posted this morning on Facebook. I had seen this before, but they posted it again, so it reminded me. Now, I called their office this morning, and I did get to talk to a young lady, and I asked her to please call me back. I said, please, I want somebody from James Dobson's office to call me back, because now here's James Dobson. Okay, most of us know about him and his focus on the family. Okay, so he puts up an article here on his jamesdobson.org. He says, only the Lord knows the condition of a person's heart. I can only tell you what I've heard. First, Trump appears to be tender to things of the Spirit. I also hear that Paula White has known Trump for years and that she personally led him to Christ. Do I know that for sure? No. So why are you even saying that? Excuse me, but Paula White doesn't know Jesus Christ herself. So how could she lead anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ? And before you post a story like this, he should have asked Donald Trump, instead of posting this ridiculous story when he doesn't know what he's talking about. I thought, focus on the family, okay? Focus on the family. He's trying to tell you, you know, don't vote for Hillary. But James Dobson, you're an educated man. So if you're an educated man, I expect you to vet people before you make these outrageous claims, because first of all, you should go and ask Donald Trump if the story is true, because to me, this is a PR stunt by Paula White. She probably hired a PR person to leak this story, and it's not true. I have never heard Donald Trump, from what I've heard of his interviews, him ever claiming to be a born-again Christian, ever. Never. So Paula White did not lead Donald Trump to the Lord. Like I said, she doesn't know Jesus herself. If Jesus came down from heaven and sat down next to her and said, hi, I'm Jesus, she wouldn't know who he was. Another thing, focus on the family. Okay, focus on the family. I don't know if James Dobson is aware that Paula White's husband, Jonathan Cain Friga, stood up in the pulpit a few months ago and told women to watch pornography with their husbands. Focus on the family. I don't know. James Dobson, I think you better go back to school and renew your PhD or whatever you have. Something is definitely lacking there, that you would even mention this woman's name. I don't know how people vet people. But can you please find out what you're talking about before you put something out there, which I'm sure you have many, many people looking at your website, and this story has gone out to the national news media, and it makes Christians look ridiculous to make these kind of comments, because the Bible says we're supposed to know those who labor among us. We're supposed to know them by their fruit. There is no good fruit that comes from Paula White and her husband. I don't care how many times they talk about Jesus. I love Jesus. No, when you scam people, you're not a Christian. When you stand up on television and you say, send me $1,000 and send me $700 and give me this seed for that, and God's going to give you that, that is not Christian. People like that need to get saved, because no real Christian is a pickpocket. No real Christian goes and just helps himself to other people's bank accounts by lying. I don't know. Now, come on now, listening audience out there. Let's have a hand clap here. Let's have a hand clap. Does any real Christian act like that? No. No. Anyway, call James Dobson. And I'm going to see if I get a call back. I left my phone number. And I told him, please call me back, because don't put out ridiculous stories like this unless you have some basis in fact on the story, because it's ridiculous to even say it. Anyway. Now, TBN, right? Very interesting. TBN has a rummage sale. Now you ask me, how does TBN have a rummage sale? Well, you know that Jan Crouch died recently. And here's a story now. It's called CelebrityNetWorth.com. Okay, so it tells you what different people are worth. Okay, they claim here that Jan Crouch was worth $50 million, but of course, she was probably worth more than that. So, anyway, TBN has this place in Orlando, and it's called the Holy Land Experience. And it's not too far away from Disney. They also built a Coliseum. It looks like the Coliseum. It's round, and it's next to the Holy Land Experience. And it's supposed to see, I think, 3,000 people. Anyway, they built it as a church, which hardly anybody ever uses it. It just sits there empty. But in order for them to get a tax exemption, you have to be a church. So that's why, one of the reasons why they built this church building, what they call it, a church, but nobody uses it. And anyway, Jan Crouch was running this place. She was living in Florida, and she was running it. And now that she's passed away, if you go to the Orlando Sentinel, I think even Charisma Magazine reported on this, believe it or not, that they were having this rummage sale. But the Orlando Sentinel reports that they have a warehouse full of furniture, and you could see the pictures like I said, you could go to Charisma News, or you can put in the Orlando Sentinel and go to the website, and you can find this story where Jan Crouch has passed away, and now they're having a rummage sale, because you'll see that Jan She was a compulsive shopper. She couldn't stop shopping. She had... Really, wait till you see the pictures, because they have pictures of all the junk that she had stored up over there. Now, this isn't the only warehouse full of stuff that she probably has all over the world, because she couldn't stop spending your money that you were all sending in. Of course, we know we weren't doing that, but all the money that people were sending in for them to preach the gospel. But Jan, she had a shopping addiction, and she couldn't stop shopping, as you'll see when you look over the pictures. Furniture, chandeliers, reams of fabric, heads, statues, you know, just junk, a lot of junk. I mean, there was a few nice antiques that they had there, but she has a motorcycle, and it was claimed by her granddaughter, Brittany, that Jan used to buy motorcycles for her boyfriends. And, of course, now Brittany claims that Jan and Paul Crouch did not live together, which is true, really, because if you also read some of the stories that have been published lately, that Jan's house was up for sale in California, and I think it was an 11,000-square-foot house, and it was on sale for $8 million, and then Paul Sr. had a house nearby her, and you can go on YouTube and see the video of that house. It sold for $4.5 million. Now, that was Paul Sr.'s house, and Jan had a house not too far away from him. Also, in some of the newspaper stories this week, which documents what Brittany had alleged years ago, that they never lived together as man and wife, since she could remember, and she must be close to 30. Also, they had a ranch in Texas where, in court documents, it stated from the testimony of Kelly Whitmore, who was Jan's personal assistant, that the property in Texas, that they had a ranch, and they also owned 9 houses there, that Jan had her own condo and Paul had his own condo. So they had separate houses everywhere they lived. So married couples usually, you know, when people are married, they usually don't live in separate houses. So you can also see the picture of the motorcycle here. One of the motorcycles that's up for sale, that looks like it probably belonged to one of Jan's boyfriends. And so anyway, they're having this yard sale, and they call it an estate sale, but you'll see most of it is just junk if you go to the store and look at the pictures. But it says that when this theme park opened in 2010, now imagine this. Not only did they buy the property there in Orlando, but they spent $42 million renovating it. TBN. Now, they needed that money to preach the gospel, $42 million. Renovating the Holy Land Experience. They spent $23 million in 2011 renovating it. And then in 2012, they only spent $2.2 million. In 2013, $2.6 million. And 2014, $2.5 million. So, apparently, they've had a drop in revenue, and they're closing up their gift shop, and they're getting rid of all the junk that Jan accumulated. I guess Matt doesn't have any use for it. So they're having this estate rummage sale is what I'm going to call it. So what I think is going to happen actually is probably they're going to sell this place they have 63 acres there, I think, so they'll make out okay. It is a valuable piece of property as far as it's centrally located near Disney, but I don't think many people really want to go to the Holy Land experience. Jan liked it, but it hasn't been profitable. So we can expect in the near future for Matt to start selling off many of TBN's assets. Even if you go to the TBN channel, you don't really see. Remember, they used to have the Praise the Lord program, and that was their flagship program, and it usually was an hour and a half or 2 hours long. Every day they had the program. But you don't even see that program anymore. You might see it once or twice a week, but they're already doing away with that program. So expect to see a huge sell-off there at TBN, because now that Matt owns everything, why should he work? And he's not really interested in preaching the gospel. They claim also that they stopped doing live telethons in 2012. So their income has decreased by half. But really, the truth with TBN is that according to their 990 forms, and they're available to the public, anybody could look at these forms. So it's not hearsay. It's not anything that's made up. It is what their accountants put down on paper to submit to the government. They made over $50 million a year on selling airtime. And now, okay, isn't $50 million a year enough to run a television network? I would think so. So you would never, never have to have a telethon. The only reason they ever had these telethons was so they could buy more real estate, like his and her mansions all over the world. They own, I think, the newspaper report is, and I know this is a fact because I know somebody that lives in this development right next door to TBN, that they own 11 houses next door to the TBN facility there in Costa Mesa, which they claim they use for guests and things like that. So they own 11 houses there, plus Jan and Paul each had, you know, over $20 million worth of mansions nearby the TBN studios, plus the other mansions that they owned and condos and so. But lust is never satisfied, so the Bible says. And it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said it. So when all that money started rolling in, and you can see by the pictures of the junk that they're selling there at the rummage sale, at the Holy Land Experience, warehouse full of junk, that they couldn't stop spending money. They had all this money, which they weren't spending on preaching the gospel. They were spending it on themselves. They just went insane spending money. So if you want to look at, like I said, you can see a picture of Paul Sr.'s mansion. It's on YouTube. You can just put it in your search engine. Paul Crouch sells his mansion, and it'll probably bring it up. And it shows you the realtor had made a video of the interior. It's empty. The furniture is not in there because it was sold shortly after his death, and then it was resold. It's being resold, but it was sold for $4.5 million, and it overlooks the ocean there, and it's quite a house. But like I said, Jan had an 11,000 square feet. This was close to 5,000 square foot mansion that Senior had, Paul Senior, and Jan had an 11,000 square foot mansion. So this is what they were doing with your donations to preach the gospel. That and it's quite evident now. So I don't have anything against people taking up offerings. I have nothing absolutely against ministers earning a salary. If you work, you deserve a salary. I don't have anything against pastors getting a salary or ministries taking up offerings as long as they tell the truth. I have no objections to that. What I do object to is when these so-called ministries lie to you about the reason they need the money, and they don't really need the money, because if a ministry is self-sufficient, which most television ministries are, they can take care of all their obligations simply by selling airtime. And even if they want to sell commercials or whatever else they want to do to generate income, they can do that. They don't need to have these telethons, but they have these telethons to raise money to enrich themselves and to buy more houses and more cars and more airplanes. TBN had two or three corporate jets. One was worth $50 million. $50 million. So what happened? Now, what happened? Paul and Jan are dead. They didn't take it with them. And it's all left behind. It's going to be sold off. It's going to be sold off, although probably I would say Matt will probably keep the $50 million jet. He will probably keep it. I'm sure he probably likes that jet. And he's not going to fly commercial. No, 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 no. He's not going to do that. And so thank God for the internet, let me tell you. We need more voices out there. Anybody can be on Blog Talk Radio. You can have a free program for 15 minutes. They will give you free time. Anybody could be out there and be a voice. Anybody could be on YouTube, because I believe we are having an effect on these con artists. And they can still con people because they're still doing it, and it's effective. But there's people that are waking up to really what's happening is that you can't pay Jesus off to do things for you, because he does things for you for free. You don't have to give him any money to do things. And people are, hallelujah, waking up to that. So let's sound the alarm loud and clear, amen, and put these con artists out of business. And hopefully they will repent of their sins. Now, wasn't it a strange happening? A story came by last week about Joni Parsley. Now, Joni Parsley, she never in her wildest dreams thought that she was going to be brought into court. And now, this was a little thing, okay? This was a little thing, but to me, I believe that it was a little warning from God to Joni and Rod, because the Lord in his mercy has been sending out these little warnings to Joni and Rod. And see, now Miss Joni Parsley, the wife of Rod, she's on probation now. And what was her crime? Her crime was that she asked for absentee ballots for an election. Now, when you get an absentee ballot, there's a little something you have to sign on there stating that it is your signature, because nobody else can sign for you this absentee ballot. But Joni took it upon herself to sign Ashton's ballot, her daughter. Now, somebody over there at the election office there in their county probably doesn't like the Parsleys, probably, and for good reason. So anyway, they looked at these ballots and they saw that Joni's signature looked exactly like Ashton's signature. So anyway, they filed charges against her. And she pleaded guilty, which, you know, she had to plead guilty, otherwise she was going to jail. Look, she would she was sentenced to 10 days in jail, but she didn't have, it was suspended. But he ordered her to pay $250 in a fine, and she has to serve a year on probation. So this is a little warning for you, Miss Joni Parsley there. You see this little warning now? You're on probation now. So if anything else comes up, next time it will not be probation. It will not be probation. So it's only a little warning from God that you have, you and your husband and your daughter have to stop scamming people in the name of Jesus. It's a little warning. See, God was merciful to you. But just remember, Joni, what it's like when you're found guilty of a crime and you have to go to court and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get a good judge or you're going to get a judge that wants to throw the book at you and maybe make you spend a day in jail or 2 days in jail. And you know what happens when you go to jail, right? You know what happens? It's humiliating. It's humiliating. Nobody wants to go there, really. I mean, really, who wants to go there? So it's a little warning, Joni. You got a little taste there of what it's like, a little taste of the legal system. It was a little smack on the hand. But here's the thing. If you keep scamming people and taking advantage of people and lying to people. You know, last week I got this ridiculous comment on my YouTube channel from a member of Rod Parsley's church. I couldn't believe it. I said, the Kool-Aid over there, the Kool-Aid that they drink over there at Rod Parsley's, it's some strong Kool-Aid over there, because Rod lives in a $1 million house. Now, you can look at the property records there in the county he lives in, and it tells you the value of his house. It's over $1 million, the house he lives in. He's not selling his house to save his ministry. But yet this person on YouTube comments that I shouldn't talk about Rod Parsley because that's his pastor, and he goes and he cleans offices at night to help Rod out with his ministry. And he said that he would sell his, he would mortgage his house, and he'd work 3 jobs for Pastor Rod. I'm like, wow, the Kool-Aid is pretty strong over there. Because trust me, Rod's not going to do that for you. No, Rod doesn't care about you. No, he's not giving up. He not only has one house, he claims, I think he has 3 houses. So he's not giving up anything for you. No. No, he's not. But anyway, like I said, Joni, it's only a little warning, a little warning. Would be nice, Joni, if you and Rod got up one Sunday morning and you repented in front of the congregation and you repented in front of the nation, and you told the people that we have been preaching a false gospel here at our church. We have been preaching another Jesus here at our church, and we are sorry. We are truly, truly sorry because I don't wish any harm on you. I didn't have anything to do with those people over at the election office. Nothing. I didn't even know that was going on. When you do people wrong, you make enemies. And that's one thing we don't want to do, is to make enemies. Because what happens when you make enemies? Then your enemy thinks of a way to get even with you. Usually people that aren't saved. Now, Christians, we're not supposed to do that, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So I let the Lord take care of vengeance. But when you keep doing people the way you have, and especially in the name of Jesus, you're going to make enemies. So you had an enemy there at the election office that was looking at your ballots. They weren't just, I mean, how many people look at absentee ballot signatures? I'm sure most people don't even look at that. But they were looking at yours. Oh, they were looking at yours. So, anyway, I appreciate all my listeners, and would love your comments. If you'd like to email me, Susan@propheticnews.com, please email me and let me know if you have any program suggestions or you have any comments. Look, even if people don't like what I'm saying, or you I think we can disagree and we can still be friends. We can still disagree. We can talk about things. If I'm wrong about something, I can be corrected, and I want to be corrected. And I think that has to be our attitude across the board as Christians, no matter who we are, that we should be able to talk about things. And iron sharpens iron. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, and we should be able to discuss things and try to find solutions so we can get along with each other. Because as the body of Christ, we have to be able to get along with each other. And so let's work on it. And Jesus said he's coming for a glorious church, so we have that hope, don't we, that we can be the glorious church. And so I want to thank everybody that's been listening. We're going on our, we'll be starting our 7th year. Yikes, I don't know where the time goes, because it seems just like yesterday that we started this broadcast. But we don't really run out of things to say. There's always something to say, and there's always somebody interesting to talk to. So if you have any ideas for guests, and then please email me at Susan@propheticnews.com, and I would appreciate your feedback. I see I do have some callers there, but we only have 90 seconds left today, so I won't be able to take your calls. But please call in again, and I do appreciate your phone calls, and I do want to hear from you. I really do. So God bless you. Don't forget, the most important thing today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, repent of your sins, and be born again. Read the 3rd chapter of John today, and read the book of Romans. Confession is made unto, with the mouth, unto salvation. Repent of your sins today, and let Jesus Christ give you a brand new life. He will give you a beautiful life. Amen? We know it. God bless you. Thank you, Vince. God bless you, everybody. I love you. And see you next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies 4 square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.